long gone are those days where you had a single breadwinner working at a job for 40 years and retiring on a professionally managed pension. Today, the situations are more complex. If you think about just the number of accounts that a household is managing towards retirement, so complexity of life is what's driving managed accounts.
Welcome to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes, presented by BMO Global Asset Management. I'm Ben Jones.
And I'm Emily Larson. In each episode, we'll explore topics relevant to today's trusted financial advisors, interviewing experts and investigating the world of wealth advising from every angle. We'll also provide you with actionable ideas designed to improve outcomes for advisors and their clients.
To access the resources we discussed in today's show, or just to learn more about our guests, visit bmogam.com/better conversations. Again, that's bmogam.com/better conversations. Thanks for joining us.
Before we get started, one quick request. If you have enjoyed the show and found them of value, please take a moment to leave us a rating or review on iTunes. It would really mean a lot to us.
Views expressed are as of January 2018, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of the participants and not necessarily those of BMO Global Asset Management, Fidelity Investments, or their respective affiliates or subsidiaries. BMO and Fidelity do not assume any duty to update any of the information. Managed accounts are a fast-growing segment of the financial advice ecosystem, and one of the chief drivers of their popularity is complexity in people's lives. We'll cover this in more detail later, but let's start by introducing our guest. Who better to teach us about this offering than one of the largest retirement providers in the U.S., Fidelity? Here's our guest.
Lorianne Panozzo, Senior Vice President of Fidelity Workplace Solutions.
How do you describe your role?
I lead product development and management for Fidelity's workplace managed accounts offering, which we call Portfolio Advisory Services at Work, or PASW.
And where do we find ourselves recording today?
We're at a conference room at Fidelity's headquarters in Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts, one of my favorites. As we sat down in Boston with my Dunkin' in hand, we started by defining what we mean when we say the term managed accounts. Then we discussed the scale of the managed account marketplace and what needs to happen in order for providers to be successful for participants with these solutions.
Managed accounts mean a lot of different things to a lot of people. And when I talk to end investors and I say managed accounts, they say, well, aren't all accounts managed? And, you know, when you talk to advisors, you know, at times they struggle to define what this really means. So in your opinion, how would you define managed accounts?
So a managed account, and I'll specifically talk about workplace managed accounts, but they provide ongoing discretionary management and the ongoing monitoring of a specific account, right? So it is the entire portfolio within that managed account for workplace because it's your 401k plan. And what these accounts do is they personalize the investment strategy based on a participant's unique financial situation, their risk tolerance, their outside holdings, and it adjusts for that. And we do it towards a retirement goal. So it's really that personalization and then the ongoing investment management with the ongoing monitoring and rebalancing that automatically occurred. So managed accounts tend to be a very scalable solution.
Okay. Now, I want to just, from the corporate plan sponsor perspective, how does a managed account kind of fit into the overall workplace savings plan?
So we look at it from a couple of perspectives. First, we say, think about your participant base. In broad categories, you have two different types of participants in their investing habits. There are the, I want to do it all myself. And those participants have the, you know, confidence that they can manage this. They may just need point-in-time advice. They want to get started right, or they want to occasionally validate their thinking with someone. So, you know, but they are off and running. Then there are the do-it-for-me investors, and we think about that as, we call it will, skill, and time. So the will, do they want to manage their investments on their own. There are people who really just have no desire to be engaged in it. Their priorities and interests are someplace else. The skill is, are you going to feel confident in your ability to do the managing so that you feel good about where you are. And then the time is, it's the time prioritization, to not only selecting those investments the first time, but you're going to come in and you will be doing the ongoing management. There are people who, I really don't want to prioritize my time in that way. So we think about will, skill, and time first as being, are you right for any kind of solution, whether it's a target date fund or a managed account? That's the do it for me solutions. So together they fit into the overall plan design to meet the needs of those participants.
When I think about managed accounts, inside of a retirement plan, it tends to be, if someone selects the managed account option, it's their whole portfolio.
That's right.
How should an advisor think about it when they have maybe a wealth management client and they've got a portfolio at their wife's work and a portfolio at their work and then this managed account? How should an advisor think about, you know, what that individual should do or how that fits into the overall portfolio of that individual?
Right. So if you think about what the participant cares about and what the advisor is advising towards, it's, can I help this person meet their overall goals, right? So they're going to be looking at the goals and assigning these different accounts to the goals. The managed account is one of those accounts that can be assigned towards that goal. And part of the personalization is to consider what you have in terms of the outside assets. So it will adjust the allocation for that specific account to meet what the other asset allocations are in the other accounts and holdings. So if I have, you know, towards a retirement goal, an IRA that's all equities, the managed account would make it more conservative, right? So that we have the overall appropriate allocation towards the goal.
I like that. Now, when it's inside of a corporate retirement plan, who's paying for the managed account?
Typically, the participant pays for the managed account fee, so the overall wrap fee for the management and ongoing monitoring. There are some instances where a sponsor may pick up all or some part of that fee.
And so I got to imagine this next question is going to be all over the board, but like on average, what does a managed account generally cost?
So I'd say that tends to vary. Often the managed account fees can be negotiated depending on the size of the overall plan. But typically you target around 50 basis points on a net basis.
You know, we have a very large audience of advisors, a lot of plan advisors as well that listen to this. Why do you think that advisors or consultants should really care about this topic in particular?
Well, I think there are probably three reasons. So the first one is that is where the market is going. So your competitors who are also looking for that business will see that's the market growing, and we see more and more being aware and starting to consider managed accounts as part of their overall discussion. So first, that's where the puck's going. So, you know, lean into it. I think second, it actually provides more opportunities to add value. So there are questions like, what's the overall appropriate plan design once we start considering managed accounts as part of that? So there are additional areas to go ahead and add value. And, you know, third, for those advisors who might be focused more on wealth management, it does provide opportunity to better scale and leverage your time. So it can be really considered as part of that business. So those few reasons.
And I'm curious, you know, I hear a lot of folks talk about the growth in managed accounts. Mm-hmm. It's kind of analogous to, you know, you were an early pioneer in target date and there was a lot of growth in target date. Why is managed accounts growing? What's the consumer desire or demand? What's creating that growth?
The growth is coming from the participant need. I'll say that absolutely. And if you think about it, it's because the fit for managed accounts are those participants with more complex situations. And complexity in people's lives is just increasing. If long gone are those days where you had a single breadwinner working at a job for 40 years and retiring on a professionally managed pension. Today, the situations are more complex. If you think about just the number of accounts that a household is managing towards retirement, The answer is nine. Nine for just a retirement goal.
So I wasn't aware of that.
The average number of accounts. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I was a little shocked by this. The average pre-retiree will have changed jobs 12 times over the course of their working life. So just the number of, you know, workplace benefits that they may have can have increased significantly. So complexity of life is what's driving managed accounts. You connect the complexity of life to the growth of the do-it-for-me solutions, and now managed accounts being added as a more personalized option, that all adds up to the growth of the industry.
12 times, geez, I feel like I'm, you know, on the distribution curve. I'm in the tail there, being halfway through my career. I'm not halfway to that goal.
Well, if you start thinking about the jobs you had as a teenager, I know I worked at a lot as a library page for a few weeks and as a McDonald's fry girl. So.
My professional work life was all manual labor, and post it's been almost entirely white collar labor. So there was definitely a delineation in the type of work that I did over time. So let's talk a little bit about considerations for managed accounts. And maybe first, you know, we talked a little bit about the growth of the market, but how large is the managed account marketplace? It's a hard thing to get a size on.
Well, managed accounts is a very large market. I'll focus on the workplace market. According to Cerulli, at the end of 2016, it was $227 billion. Now, the market for TDFs, according to the same Cerulli data, was over $1 trillion. So combined, it's a very large market, and it's growing pretty quickly at about 20% annually. Managed accounts we see as being kind of that next wave of personalization.
Almost like a target date 2.0.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 3.0. I don't know. Everybody's got a different 0.0. I'm not in technology, so I'm not even sure I know how to allocate points. So what are the different types of managed accounts that are available for advisors to consider? Now, and I guess maybe related to this is, when they go to a platform provider or a record keeper, do they actually get a choice, or do they just take that platform's anointed choice, or is there optionality?
So first, on the types of managed accounts, again, we're talking workplace managed accounts. There's really only the one type. It's the discretionary management. Yep. Now, all the flavors depend on the specific providers that you have. And that gets to your conversation about the record keeper. That'll depend on the record keeper's business model. Some have more proprietary offerings on their platform. Others tend to be a little bit more open architecture where there may be choice. So it really depends on who your specific provider is.
And so with respect to that, walk me through the decision-making framework that an advisor would go through with a plan sponsor. Obviously, they have really robust procurement processes for finding the right record keeper. Does that mean if a record keeper only offers one solution, that needs to be part of the record keeper RFP, or would they choose a record keeper based upon a managed account RFP?
So the answer is both, and it will depend a bit on the advisor's business model and the capacity in which they're asking. On the record keeper side, I think we are seeing it, and what we're hearing from advisors is they are seeing much more frequently that it's added as a section of the record keeping RFP, whether or not they provide managed accounts as part of their services. However, there are also searches that are specifically around the plan design, where the question will come up much more around a managed account provider. The question then is, will that managed account provider that's selected be accommodated on the record keeping platform? So the answer is both. And we are seeing an increasing number of RFPs that are asking for managed accounts. And I think that's the key message.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I certainly don't want to overstate this, but if I look back in time, a lot of the solutions that have been designed to help savers meet their objectives over time, if you go back to the 80s and 90s, it was about a risk-based portfolio you filled out, and it was based on one factor: what's your risk tolerance? And then we evolved into target date, which was based on a different factor: what's the date that you retire? And then we kind of did custom target date, which might have been based on a population, maybe two or three factors for a population. It was still based on an average participant, which has its own pitfalls. Managed accounts have the ability to take in a lot of other variables, But are those variables automatic, or do you need engagement from the participant to get things like you mentioned about outside assets or other information?
Well, the answer is both, because a managed account provider should be able to pull in some data that's automatically record kept on the platform. So you should have some degree of automatic population. In addition, there can be engagement from the participant that becomes automatic. So for example, use of an asset aggregation engine to pull in outside accounts. There's a one-time engagement to pull that information in, and then that happens on an ongoing basis. And then there's collection of the additional information that needs to happen to create that personalization. And a point on that is it doesn't necessarily happen all at once. So we'd love to say that everybody, I'm going to book an hour to go give you all my personal information at a time. Generally, people will provide so much and then there's a little bit of fatigue. It's also just, I'll answer that later. So you need to have great engagement to make sure you're continually reaching out and providing opportunities for the participant to continue to personalize.
So as long as I can recall, working now in the retirement plan space for a long time, the struggle's always been with participant engagement. With a managed account, what are some of the ways that you see working to get that ongoing engagement from the participants? What is it, peer-led? Is it advisor-encouraged? Is it plan sponsor-encouraged? What is it that's working, and what are those overall engagement rates?
So first, all of those components need to be leveraged, and you want to see programs that are pulled together to make them all sing in terms of really trying to reach out and get that participant engagement. So things like, first of all, in the enrollment process, you try to capture that information. Some pieces will be provided, not all the pieces. Then you have the onboarding process. The onboarding process should also be looking to capture more information. Great, you're enrolled. Tell us more. And then there's the annual update, right? Your portfolio review at the end of the year, that you review your information, again, an opportunity to add more. Now, when there is live channel engagement, those representatives are great at collecting information. And if you have an advisor who's able to say, here are a few participants I see who could really use my help, that's a great opportunity to really interject into that overall service model to add more value and continue to learn about that participant.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, obviously it's a growing marketplace, it's growing fast. We talked a little bit about the participant desire for advice driving that, but what are some of the other trends that are driving the managed account marketplace today?
We discussed the participant need certainly being one of them. Then there's the overall growth in the industry. So there are more providers, I think, getting into the game to start providing managed accounts. And certainly, as the need for personalization is increased, so have the different methods that that providers are using to do that. One interesting trend that we have seen is around the QDIA. So managed accounts as is an option as a QDIA, and some smarter plan design around that, saying who are the appropriate individuals that we might want to default into a target date fund, for example, versus a managed account for those participants who have more complex needs. So trying to move the QDIA beyond a one-size-fits-all solution.
That's really interesting. So have you seen anyone actually split their QDIA choice between managed accounts and target date?
Not yet. We have recently introduced the capability, so it's still a pretty new offering in the industry, and I know there are a couple of other providers who are doing that. There's not been the selection, but there's certainly been a lot of interest, particularly in the consultant and community, and for some of, I'd say, the thought leader sponsors that we work with.
If you're considering managed accounts as an option for your plan sponsors, it's important to look at the demographics from a will, skill, and time perspective, as Lorianne pointed out. Then look at the provider's capabilities and approach to identify fit and consider how we'll be positioned on the investment menu. Ben and Lorianne discuss what advisors should consider when thinking about a managed account provider.
How do they think about the differentiators in the way that different providers, you mentioned there's a lot of new providers, and I've noticed a lot of the robos that weren't successful in the retail market are now trying to attack the workplace market. So tell me a little bit about the things that an advisor should consider or think about when they're assessing a managed account provider.
So a few factors, first kind of fiduciary. So is the provider stating that they're the 338 fiduciary for the participant investment decision? So that's one factor you absolutely want to keep in mind. Second, personalization. What is the degree of personalization that they're actually providing? Is it more like this custom target date solution, or are we fully personalizing for the participant, including many different factors outside assets, spousal assets, their own profile as part of that. The ongoing portfolio monitoring, so frequency of monitoring for drift, rebalancing, looking at that. Really the customer experience too, so both the digital customer experience, how integrated is it with the overall flow that your record keeper is providing? Is it easy? Is it simple? Is it intuitive around that customer experience? The service model, so are there people they can talk to? You mentioned robos. They don't want to add the personal, though many of them are finding that in order to get the engagement and the results, you need to provide that. And of course, cost. So the managed account fee, does that fee include access to a human being? Are there integration costs? And because of this engagement factor, are there additional costs for participant communications and programs? All things that you'd want to go ahead and consider.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think the, two things that really stick out in my head when I think about what you just explained. First, the customer experience. In the way that we manage employees' retirement using good behavior management, the experience is everything for engagement. But advisors tend to like to focus on the investment problem. So is there wide differences in the optimization engines or the philosophies that these managed account providers are using? Or is it, or are they all using a somewhat similar method to get to these custom allocations?
I'd say that's one of the things that you want to look at, the degree of difference again. So it all starts with personalization, right? Because that's the factor that's going to determine what's the portfolio allocation for you that's going to help you reach that goal. Different providers have different degrees of personalization that's involved. I can't speak to everybody's, the engines that they're specifically using, but that's certainly something that you'd look at. I think that, the different providers would say they have a secret sauce in that. So it's really you understanding what is the philosophy of each provider and what's their methodology.
Target date, when it came out, it's evolved. It's grown into a very large segment of the marketplace, and we've seen a lot of fee compression in that marketplace. Do you anticipate that as managed accounts grow, that there will be fee compression in that? Or is it because the advice part is so valuable that it's priced appropriately today?
Well, we believe it's priced appropriately today for all the services that are being provided. There's certainly a lot of innovation going on in the space. So I'd say as a future trend, you'd likely see some degree of that. But it really depends on, is the provider creating all of that value in the account through both the management of the portfolio and the ongoing planning and other services that are being provided.
Yeah, and it might be over time that the innovation leads to more services, which might increase, the delivery expenses.
Absolutely, that could happen. So on that point you just raised about more services being provided, the example you had raised earlier about robo-advisors coming in, what they've seen is that low price point didn't provide enough value. So they've been adding more human support, which has increased the overall price points.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the robo evolution in particular because they haven't been tested through a scary market yet. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see if they can manage the behavior of all of the clients that they have over time. But that's just my two cents on it. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things advisors do best when they're at their best is really keep clients from making really poor, rash decisions immediately. And so we'll see if they pull it off. Yeah. Maybe they've got it all figured out.
Absolutely. If you, one of the success factors of a managed account should be that those participants are staying the course and they're staying invested.
Now, one question I do have about the service model of an advisor, many advisors charge either a consulting fee to a plan sponsor for their ongoing services, or maybe they charge an asset-based fee in some cases as well. Does the service model of the advisor change if managed accounts are the majority of a plan sponsor's asset base?
Well, an advisor would be doing everything they're doing today and, in fact, probably be adding some more value over the course of their relationship with the sponsor and the participants. But they'll also be able to perhaps leverage their time better in some ways, since a lot of that ongoing work that we talked about is being provided by the managed account provider. So the advisor will still be all involved in recommending the plan design. And in fact, this is another element to be able to bring into that. They'll be looking at who are the right participants into this account, looking at the demographic evaluation. And they're certainly the fiduciary for everything around the 321 on that. And in addition, you can think about what are those additional services we want to provide for participants with more complex needs. So those potentially enrolled in the managed account. There are the annual participant meetings to really have those discussions. And maybe additional wealth planning meetings as we've uncovered some more of these complex needs and you realize that they may have other needs that are not being addressed through the workplace plan itself. And then with the managed account, there's more of reviewing the plan insights and trends and offering ongoing suggestions to the sponsors.
Now we'll switch gears a bit from what an advisor needs to consider in the managed account provider to what they need to consider for the end participant. First, we'll identify who managed account participants are. Then we'll explore what a well-designed experience can do for them.
And so then if we shift to the participant side, as advisors think about the participant demographics, who are the participants that are selecting these managed accounts? Do they tend to be any demographic commonalities, or is it all over the board as well?
First of all, it's definitely a mental split around or behavioral around who are those who want to do it myself versus do it for me. We also see the chief need being complexity of situations. In terms of demographic, I would say we see versus target date funds, for example, we see age being one factor. They tend to be a bit older in a managed account, not as a huge gap, but definitely that's a differential we've seen. Certainly in terms of overall assets, I'd say that's one of the biggest areas that we see the difference. Income, so some of those factors we see being higher levels in a managed account versus a target date fund. And I think that's very intuitive when we talk about complexity of needs correlating to some of those factors.
When a plan sponsor or an advisor goes out to educate the participant population about the option of a managed account, how do they explain the attributes or why a participant might consider selecting a managed account provider? Like how do they kind of frame this for the participant?
For the participant? So we try to do it pretty simply. Again, it goes back to this, how do you feel about investments, the will, skill, and time conversation? So to introduce it really that way, again, around the needs. And then if there's a target date fund in the lineup as well, it's then a matter of the complexity of your need and your situation. So do you have a different risk tolerance that may not be accommodated in the current roll down of the TUDF? Do you have outside assets, spousal assets? How much are you managing towards a single goal right here for retirement? So it's really, you have other sources of income. You know, there's a lot of questions that you then ask. So it's really not positioning an investment solution or another, but it's that really underlying understanding of the needs and then being able to say, for a more personalized solution to meet your complex needs, a managed accounts is likely the best choice.
And when they do that, they then frame, but there is some work that you have to do to really make this super robust for you. You know, like you mentioned, there's some automation that pulls in, but the real value, as I think of managed accounts, is understanding the entire situation, which some of those things are only going to be known by the participant saying, here's the rest of my complex situation.
Absolutely. And that's honestly one of the areas where you can do so much online by trying to say, listen, the value prop here is about personalization. We want to learn everything about you. I think that's really where often that personal touch comes in, because it's not around, okay, here's the information I need to collect about you so that we can, you know, make this account work. It's a much more natural discussion over, listen, I want to understand you. Tell me about yourself. And in that conversation, you're going to elicit a lot of these kind of responses, right? So it's really part of that natural conversation about understanding who somebody is.
Do most plans today have a managed account and some other type of target date or QDIA, or are you seeing plans just select just managed accounts?
In our experience in the business that Fidelity Record keeps, we are seeing a majority of those being in some sort of dual design. On Fidelity's Record Kept platform, we see that 98% of clients offer a target date fund and 47% offer a managed account. And Fidelity believes that the two are complementary solutions, where a target date fund can meet the needs of simpler needs of investors, and the more complex needs of investors can be best met by the managed account.
Here's a quick recap of some of the key ideas from Ben's conversation with Lorianne. 1, consider the population by will, skill, time, and complexity. 2, evaluate the provider's fit with 6 attributes. Here they are, listed in no particular order: fiduciary status, personalization, ongoing monitoring, customer experience, cost, and methodology. After considering the plan sponsors, participants, and providers, advisors should have the knowledge and information they need to create a successful plan for all the stakeholders. Ben asked Lorianne what it feels like when an advisor and their plan sponsor gets the managed account choice right.
So for the plan, I'll say it's the sum of the individual participants. And what we want to see from a participant is, you know, a couple of things. So first, that they're engaged. That means they've provided that personalized information. And it means that when they have a change of a life event, that they know, I need to update my information. Or the next time we reach out, they said, oh, yes, this happened to me. I'm going to let you know about it. So they're an engaged participant. The second, they feel confident. So they have confidence that they're in the right portfolio and that they know where they stand towards their goal. And that's this periodic, here's what we're doing for you, here's how you stand, I think is part of creating that confidence. And finally, we touched on this earlier, is staying invested, that they have, they're in it for the long haul. They're not panicking when there's a sudden market change, that they believe that there's somebody who's got my back on this, and I'm just going to stay involved and stay invested.
And so if you were to summarize our entire conversation today in 2 sentences or less, what would they say?
Managed accounts are a growth industry, and you should really be considering it for those participants who have more complex needs.
To learn more about the thoughts of the Fidelity Workplace Solutions team, visit our show notes page at bmogam.com/betterconversations. There you'll find additional resources, papers, and links to more content on this topic. Thanks for listening to Better Conversations, Better Outcomes. This podcast is presented by BMO Global Asset Management. To learn more about what BMO can do for you, visit us at www.bmogam.com/better conversations.
We value listener feedback and would love to hear what you have thought about today's episode. Or if you're willing to share your own experiences or insights related to today's topic, please email us at betterconversations@bmo.com. And of course, the greatest compliment of all is if you tell your friends and coworkers to subscribe to the show. You can subscribe to our show on iTunes, Google Play, the Stitcher app, or your favorite podcast platform. Until next time, I'm Emily Larson.
And I'm Ben Jones. From all of us at BMO Global Asset Management, hoping you have a productive and wonderful week.
This show and resources are supported by a talented team of dedicated professionals at BMO, including Pat Bordack, Gail Gibson, Matt Perry, and Derek Devereaux. The show is edited and produced by Jonah Guile Neufeldt and Annie Fassler of Puddle Creative.
The views expressed here are those of the participants and not those of BMO Global Asset Management, its affiliates, or subsidiaries. This is not intended to serve as a complete analysis of every material fact regarding any company, industry, or security. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are cautioned not to place undue reliance on such statements, as actual results could vary. This presentation is for general information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment product or service. Individual investors should consult with an investment professional about their personal situation. Past performance is not indicative of future results. BMO Asset Management Corp is the investment advisor to the BMO Fund. BMO Investment Distributors, LLC, is the distributor. Member FINRA, SIPC. BMO Asset Management Corp. and BMO Investment Distributors are affiliated companies. Further information can be found at www.bmo.com.
Lorianne mentioned Cerulli. This references Cerulli Edge Retirement Edition Q1 2017, reflecting Q4 2016 data. She also mentioned record-kept data. This references data as of 9/30/2017. This data includes both proprietary and non-proprietary managed account clients and participants across Fidelity's record-keeping platform, including both defined contribution and tax-exempt.